and 90.1. Namibia's Heart and Soul.
It's 7:32 on Namibia's Heart and Soul. Thank you so much for choosing us. The NSK and Shaquan, your favorites, already here. However, another favorite of yours also joins us in studio. Our resident political analyst, Abudi Dimbulukeni Neyoma. Moro, miss.
Maisa.
I understand that you have a bone to pick with us.
What? Yeah,
of course.
No, what did I do? What did I? I never do anything. It's Maniki Medibola. It's not me.
You know, like that time when the parent comes and asks who ate the sugar.
Yeah.
The one who ate the sugar is always the loudest.
Yeah. Oh!
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Ah, oh, we were all there, bro. Ah, especially me. Well, welcome, Buta. It's good to have you here, man.
No, thank you.
November 27th is edging closer and closer. And as the date is getting closer and closer, things are getting a little foggier by the second.
7 days to go.
Yeah. Now,
it's almost there.
Special votes done and dusted. You said it was about 8,000, 8 to 10?
No, 16.
16,000?
16,000 people came out. I think that number doubled. That number doubled. The expected number was around 8,000.
8,000, yeah.
And then yo.
But how did the ECA not know this?
I think it's the interest. Sometimes you find that they...
No, but like based on registration was.
Yes. Remember that also. There's letters that you write and say, look, these people, essential services.
Okay.
Guys, if you are not part of that characterization, just know that you need to go back to school. I'm joking.
Oh, wow.
So you haven't studied enough.
So it's supposed to cater for the guys that will be busy on the specific day. Of course, there's a need for amendment towards the Electoral Act because they need to include people such as journalists, security guards, your city police, and a few more essential services that will be on duty on that particular day so that they can exercise their democratic right and earlier than that. So I think there is a lot that we need to do. I think the hype has actually just gone way beyond. To a point where we saw tear gassing happening at Van Rijn.
With offices there, no house.
Yeah, so I think it's also a bit... because people underestimated the turnout, you'd obviously not have planned for 4 or 5 polling stations just so that you make the process easier. But unfortunately, it is what it was. But we got 16,000 plus Namibians who came out to vote.
So that means we shouldn't be worried about voter turnout. We can be optimistic about voter turnout.
Absolutely. I think from reading from this, if it's anything to go by, we must absolutely be prepared to get a higher voter turnout. I'm estimating above 1 million. We are estimated to be about 1.4, but I think 200,000 people may not come out to vote. But I think above 1 million, that's a guaranteed number for us to actually.
But like at this point, do we have an idea of how many people actually registered to vote?
Yes, it's about 1.4 million.
Oh, okay.
Remember, we're around, that's where they said 900,000 of that are the actually new and young voters.
That
make up that category. So then you find the rest that is about 600,000 that actually are then the older guys who have been around and making those votes and chances before.
Okay. So there's a debate online about ECN releasing the results of the special vote.
Yes.
Some quarters are saying they shouldn't have released it because it affects voter thinking. You know, it unfairly, you know, if you were maybe undecided, now you see the vote coming in, you were planning on voting for a lack of a better word, for a lesser party, you're not going to vote for that because you're thinking your vote will be spoiled or wasted, so you go more for the top two or top three. Or on the other hand, it's saying, no, it's good that the results were released. We need to understand and see where we are in terms of, you know, these results. Was ECN supposed to release these votes or not?
I mean, there's no piece of legislation, in as far as I know, that prohibits ECN from withholding the results. But also what it does is that because it's a process that must be credible, free, fair, and transparent. And ECN must meet all those ticks at every point. So if you withhold the results and you release it together with the general results, that we're going to come weeks after. And not immediately that is, because, I mean, for the first time, we camped up like America. People voted, and by the morning, we knew exactly where the things were going to in terms of the results and where they were swinging to. But if you wait until then, because remember our first results, we must be able to want to expect it probably midday on the 28th of November. And those are the smaller polling station because of the cumbersome process that that counting and verification takes place. So once it's posted, it must be verified. After it's verified, and then okay. it comes later. People were saying, but why is ECN not the one that is releasing these results?
Ah, as a central point.
As a central point.
Okay.
But ECN processes are that once the polling station counting stops, once the counting is done, results are pasted on the polling station so that anybody with an interest can immediately come and see what the voting patterns look like. After that, these results must be verified at a particular center.
Yeah, but why paste it first?
Why would you paste it if it's not verified? Yeah.
Yes, because it's important so that you must be able to say that, and remember this counting is not just one, two, three, and then you are done. Mm. It's a process. So you I mean, when we were participating this process through the EVMs, for example, once it's done, the machine is pressed, it does these calculations, it gives us the results. Then it does it again so that people can constantly see. So it's a process where, yes, it's a verified result, but it must satisfy a specific area. So that's why it then goes through another process of counting. Mm. That's why you would see that at around 3 in the afternoon is when ECN held that press conference.
Yeah,
we actually tallied now. We had 16,000 plus people that came out to vote.
Mm.
And this were the results is. So it's good that they must release this result for transparency's sake and accountability.
Mm.
Because now imagine this ballots being shipped back from the UK, from America, and all other places. In all other 14 regions where this special voting took place. So you'd rather want to make sure that these results are done and dusted, those books are accounted for, and say we send you one book that contained five ballots, and five ballots were casted, and therefore we can account for that ultimately.
But you know what? We have a listener here on our WhatsApp line that says that, but how many people have registered, from the 16,000 which have voted? It's just a gray area. How can we not know how many people expected or are expected to vote and be surprised that the number doubles?
Well, it's one of those things where you say you plan for the better. But there is... still, you know, that uncertainty around how many people are actually going to show up. What ECN know for a fact is that 1.4, 1.5 million Namibians have registered to come and vote. And they've prepared ballots for that particular number to come out.
Mm.
That's why I think they've printed an extra 300 or 400,000 extra ballots just in case.
Just in case, yeah.
We go to a runoff or anything happens or some burn or whatever it happens. So you're actually able to cover that risk. The second aspect is that the people who were supposed to be on duty on that particular day, this is what happened with the security cluster. The guys realized, look, if I have an opportunity to vote now, why not? Because ECN doesn't necessarily have names that are pasted there to say, okay,
these
are the special voting people that are coming. So remember, a commander who's at Sederov realized, if I can vote now and go to the north on the 27th, it's a public holiday. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Okay. You know, maybe I get it. Because when we registered, I was not asked what my profession is.
Yeah, it's true. Hey?
Exactly. So they wouldn't necessarily know
who's an essential worker. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Mm. All right. Mm. Why do you think the AR did so well with the diaspora?
Well, you see, there are two things. One is because you'd find that there's a lot of young people that are out there in the diaspora.
Mm.
Some went to study, some are actually working there. And they would resonate with the message with fellow young people that are there. So that is one. Two, you'd see that if you look at the voter demographic, and I would never blame any Nano Shuambo person who comes out and says, look, and this is my personal view. I can tell you people who voted 90% are Shuambo speaking. And they only had three choices.
In terms of the Oshivambo,
yes. Remember that our voting
connection.
Yes, sort of. Our voting still, to a greater extent, is still tribally guided, and not that you they are tribalists, but it's who do you resonate with best.
Mm.
So that is why you would see that the performances, for example, for Joe Bampanda as a candidate in the presidency, has not picked up momentum. Then affirmative repositioning movement or party. Seats to go to parliament.
Yeah.
So you see that the voter demographic is saying, look, we don't necessarily believe you can be our president, but we think you can do better
in parliament.
And what you must also note in those patterns is that you'd find that Panduleni Itula gets votes at the presidency, but IPC, then those, if you look at the numbers, you can exactly see some of these numbers, some went to AR, some went back to SWAPO. And then you'd see how those voter patterns are really dealt with. So you see that there's just numbers being shared between IPC and AR. I don't know, of lately, I've seen and I've observed on Twitter, X now, that there's that commotion that is happening there. So whether that is a spill-off from that, well, that is what it is. But absolutely, you see that the ruling party still comes out strong. Of course, not as expected, but you see that in terms of the presidential candidate, Nemene Tumbo, comes out stronger, leading by 60% of the votes in the diaspora. And then you look at how the party still drops. And you see that pattern. She would probably get, 100 votes. And then SWAPO as a party gets about 78 or 80. So they lose about 20 voters who says, well, look, we believe in your candidate.
As a president,
but I think we want to go for a balanced
parliament. In terms of parliament, too.
Yes. You know. So it's a different dynamic
that
is happening.
To someone who's listening who's also uninformed, Ney, let me ask a very stupid question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where should we focus on? And I asked this question because last week I saw a lot of people, you know, just having the conversation of focus on the National Assembly more than anything and not necessarily on the president candidacy, so to say, right? So to inform the ordinary Namibian right now, who's probably not even well informed, pertaining to things of all politics and voting, elections or whatever it is, where does your vote matter the most in terms of change coming about? I don't know if I'm making sense.
Presidential or parliamentary?
Yeah.
Every vote is essential. In a sense that, look, if you want to and I want to give you a practical example. This is what happened when we went to local authorities.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying, look, bring in new people that are able to foster this change. Now, when you have somebody who doesn't have ultimate power, anything can hang. Mm-hmm. So in terms, you can have a president that wins and you have a divided parliament where people would ultimately look at their egos or ultimately look at, okay, what is our policy position as a party? Therefore, we don't align with yours as a majority party. You don't have 2/3 majority, but unfortunately, you can't move in that direction. Of course, we have not held that yet. Remember, SWAPO lost its 2/3 majority in the previous election.
Mm.
Literally one seat.
Yes. So with that, they had to bring in Nudo so that there is a cushion. Now, because this is what will happen. SWAPO wins presidency, doesn't win parliament or loses parliament by a greater majority.
Yeah.
Then you have a problem because the minister, president will be forced to get everybody together. If they don't want to get to work together, it's going to be a crisis.
Mm.
So you want to make sure that when you go and cast your vote, you are casting your vote knowing that, look, this is what I believe in. This is what I must get to. Now let's get to the parliamentary list, for example.
Mm.
People are saying, yes, there's a lot of recycling happening, but what you can see from the political parties and you look at their lists, there isn't really recycling. Most of the people who dominate, for example, even the SWAPO party list, are new people. Most of them are new people.
Mm.
You look at the PDM, the same. You look at IPC, the same. You look at AR, the same. So it's a matter of looking at, where is my best vote going to serve me? Do I stick to the ruling party and say, look, let's give them another opportunity to continue fostering what they are doing? Or do we reverse that and say, look, let's bring in new people and get maybe a new perspective, trial and error, and then we can move in that direction.
Okay.
I think for the general voter, For me, it's really to say, are we at the stage where we want to do trial and error? Or are we at this point where we are saying, look, it's economic freedom in our lifetime that we need to achieve. People are hungry. People are sleeping without water, are here, are there. So let's get these services in. Because if you look at really in terms of service delivery in the local authorities, what has happened over the past three years or so now, it's important for us to also look at that to inform what we must do come 27 November.
All the thoughts, 7:48 on Namibia's Heart and Soul. We will continue with this in a bit. I want to ask you about the Gauba Justus Karuib endorsing the presidential candidate of SWAPO, and also Nudo saying realistically they're not going to win the presidential, so we'll just focus on parliament. But they didn't endorse a candidate.
Yes.
So, you see what I mean? We'll get to it in a bit. Stick around.
Join us on November the 2nd at the old...
Stay aware and arrive with care. Drive safely.
It's 7:52 on Namibia's Heart and Soul. We're going to wrap up this conversation right now with our resident political analyst, Abudi Dimblukeni Nayoma. Now, by the way...
Dimblukeni. Not Dimblukeni.
What's up? Now, by the way, Dimblukeni is live on his Instagram. Then you see political bae, Komastakmus. Looking at what Shikwan is doing right now.
Whoa. So is it, you know, this is actually very important, hey, since we're analyzing things right now. Is there room to analyze the availability of, I don't have any more words, but you get what I mean, right?
Absolutely not.
Oh! love it.
Amen. Getting back to politics, Abudi Dimbu. Listen, look, the Damara community is they've been up in arms. You know, it's been debates left, right, and center in the last 2 weeks. Gaup Justus Karuib. He's the founder of UDF.
Yes.
Right? He is literally the one pillar as Damaras that we look to and that we respect and that we, you know, we try and emulate his example. But last presidential elections, he did the same. He endorsed the big Omes, our late. Yeah. And now he's doing it again. Talk to us about this. Because, I mean, UDF must find themselves in doldrums right now.
Not necessarily. I think it's maturity of politics. One, because, look, you need to be realistic when you get to the polls. It's well and good to say, look, to my membership, I want to become president. But realistically, you know, it's not going to happen. You look at the strongest constituency that UDF has had over the years. It's Daores that they've lost to SWAPO now. It's USACOS. It's a bit of a Chivarongo. So you look at that. They just inaugurated a road now there. Okombahe. In those areas in within the Damara land, that is the strongest stronghold of UDF.
But it almost seems like they didn't have a conversation, though.
Yeah,
Gaup and the current UDF president. Even just to have a conversation to say, Kari, you know, we're not going to do well in the presidential. Let's put our weight behind the Ntumbo. Because it seems like UDF was caught with the pants down, dude.
Yeah, absolutely, but you look at he serves at the traditional leadership level. And what you'd see, traditional leaders have also gotten accustomed to also attending political rallies. And Gaup is probably thinking, and he says, look, if I sit here on the fence and nobody knows where I am, even though they know through and through I'll be UDF, you want to also tap into the privileges of the expected incoming government. So I don't see it sinister. Yes, maybe there should have been consultation, but it also is a level of looking at, look, where do we throw our weight right now? I mean, look, if we could do it, we'd probably negotiate and say as a family and say, guys, I think we stand a better chance here. So why don't we throw our weight there? It has been done before. It's nothing new. But of course, there is a level, I mean, it demonstrates a level of maturity to say, look, in all honesty, Let's do this. I mean, the conversation has been on X and other social media platforms to say, look, why is it that political parties don't say, look, we want to come together and support candidate X? It happened when the independent candidate Ali
Angola,
aspiring, and parties came together and said, look, we know that we're not going to do any dent, but we think with our political weight and support, we can be able to support this particular candidate.
But how is that beneficial to said party, though? Like, if they put their weight behind a certain party, like, how is that going to benefit them?
I mean, look, I want to give you the practical of what happened in 2019. You find parties like CDV. It was never known. There was no political rally. There was nothing.
CDV?
The Christian Democratic Party. Yes.
And that's why I asked was that question the other day. With Body of Christ also asked. We say we are 99% Christians.
So how are we not falling behind them?
We are lolling at CDV and Body of Christ.
Yeah. So the guys went actually to campaign for Dr. Itula and said, look, we vote for him there as an independent candidate, but parliament here. So even people who genuinely just supported Dr. Itula at the time in 2019, you'd see that when they went to parliament, they voted for CDV. That is how you got CDV in, NEF in, and many other political parties that went in. So it can be beneficial to pick, but all I'm saying is bet on your right horse and know that when I bet on this horse, this is the horse that is going to ultimately spin off on me.
Okay. So now that we're on the subject, Nudo says they will not contest the presidential. Okay. They'll just focus on the parliamentary. But they did not endorse any president or presidential candidate.
I think they're waiting for the 11th hour and as expected in politics, 2 hours is a long time.
So on the day they want to say follow us.
It's not just only Nudo. You have the likes of Ilonga's party, Namibia Empowerment Fighting Against Corruption. You have UPM that also said, look, we're not contesting. We're just contesting for parliament, and they've not endorsed a particular candidate also. So it's nothing new again, but obviously you'd want to hear what are they saying in the Nudo corners. Nudo is now heavily divided between the new leadership under Barry Rukoro and the other leadership under Esther Muinyangwe, who said, look, I don't have any ambitions to go back to parliament or whatsoever. If you want to remove me, you can remove me. I'm prepared to go any day. But the stronghold of Nudo is somehow shaken. And the problem has always been that Nudo has the royal houses have seats and a say.
It's true. The lines are very blurred.
So those lines are saying, where are they leaning to? Has Muinyangwe lost the favor within the royal houses? Or are they now leaning into Barry because we must drive this ethnicity agenda that we must remain relevant in the political space?
Under 1 minute, tell us, do crowded Israelis matter? Because we saw PDM filling up Oshakati Stadium.
Yes.
Swapo and Nana.
Swapo, that's obvious. Swapo in and Nana, that's obvious.
I tell people never
obvious.
To compete.
IPC in Valfus.
Swapo in Kibans Whoop though. They filled up a stadium there. So does it really matter?
Absolutely.
The crowd size.
I tell you now.
Donald Trump.
No, I tell you now. I tell you now because you see, for the undecided voter, and for an undecided voter, you want to see where will my vote matter most. For example, Walvis Bay, you'd always want to give it to IPC because they've come in dominating that. You'd want to almost give away the south to LPM and IPC because they dominate a few quarters there. You'd never want to give away AR to Enana, for example, or Msati, or give ADM that just came, Kavango East, Kavango West. It will never happen because those are SWAPO strongholds. And when SWAPO comes out strong in their strongholds, it even motivates those that are at the center to say, look, I think this is time for me to go and make that vote.
But like, don't people just go to rallies do people actually really go to rallies to really go and hear what these politicians have to say? Or is it just free cool drink and food?
I mean, it's two things. I mean, there's you'd see that people generally have conversations when they're at the rally. You go and meet up with old friends who are there, but also to show a support and strength to the person who's not there. Some obviously would go there for the drinks and food. It's the same thing when I wear a particular t-shirt of an ex-party and I meet you as a leader of another party and we meet and they take a photo and they say, even your supporters support me. It's not like that. Because there hasn't been confirmation of membership or anything. But it's to say that Namibians are lovely people, friendly people, and for as long as you are a person who's known in society, they'll greet you and hug you and they'll have conversation with
you. All right. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you, my good sir. Perhaps we will have one more session before we vote next week, just to put a couple of things in place. In the next hour, for Mind, Body and Green, we will highlight phobias you may not have known existed.